Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Hedgesbury Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view and listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener. At the end of this broadcast, from 8 to 8:30, we will be on television public access station number 6 with another program entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our worship times at the Hedgesbury Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come and study and worship God with us, that we might show you the need to have God in your life and how to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you might be part of His church and part of the kingdom, that you might prepare yourself for that fateful day when we will stand before Him in judgment. Today we're going to conclude our short series that we have been talking about this month on the subject of Christ speaking from the cross. In the past few weeks we have been discussing Christ speaking from the cross. Thus far, we have discussed words of forgiveness, words of hope, words of concern for others, and words of sacrifice. Today, we're going to conclude this series by looking at works of accomplishment. In this statement is made in John chapter 19 and verse number 30. John chapter 19, verse number 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished," and bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. Now, what did He mean when He said, "It is finished"? Well, we want to look today, we want to look at what that statement means and how it affects mankind. And we're going to see that what He meant was the benefits that would transpire because of what He had just accomplished. It is finished. First of all, it means the old law had come to an end. Remember, He said in the great Sermon on the Mount that one dot and one tittle would not pass until all had been fulfilled. When He said it is finished, the old law came to an end. All the things that were written about Him in the Psalm, font, Proverbs, and the prophets had now been fulfilled. That is the argument Luke makes in Luke chapter 24 in verse 44 through 47. The Pharisees broke, twisted, violated, and did not keep the law, at least in the kingdom, and they would not enter it. In Isaiah 7:14, He fulfilled His birth. He was born of a virgin. Matthew 1:18. The massacre of the innocent. That's a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:15. Ministry in Galilee, that is a fulfillment of Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. A prophet like Moses, Deuteronomy 18, fulfilled with Christ, John 1, 45. Betrayed by a friend, that's a fulfillment of prophecy, Psalms 41, verse 9. That was fulfilled in Matthew 26, verse 15, when he was betrayed by Judas. And the price was prophesied, 30 pieces of silver in Zechariah 11, 12 through 13. You see, the old law is finished. It was nailed to the cross. When He died, that law was finished. It also finished, He finished drinking the bitter cup of suffering that He alluded to in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 28. Plain and open about what laid ahead on the cross, He knew that this cup of suffering was going to overwhelm Him. And when He asked if they understood, were they willing to drink of the cup that He was about to drink of, they said, "We're able," in verse 22. But they did not understand. But He said, "Oh yes, you will drink of it, but it will come later." They never understood the spiritual nature of the kingdom. Even the last question they asked about Israel being returned to former glory, they just did not comprehend the spiritual nature of the kingdom. He came to serve others. He gave His life as a ransom for many. That was over when He gave His life up on the tree of Calvary. His heart broken like death, this cup. He was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. He was forsaken by His disciples. He was scourged. He suffered in the flesh. He struggled in the flesh. And He did not lack faith or commitment. And He went through the horror and agony to be faced. This cup was going to be an intense cup of suffering. And so He endured it. He endured the pain. He endured the anguish. He endured the scourging. He endured the mockery, the ridicule, the crown of thorns. The mockery of being a king when they put a robe on Him and bowed down to Him and slapped him and told him to prophesy who hit him and the ridicule and the spitting. He endured all of it. He endured it all. And he did it not because of any wrong that he had committed. He had done nothing worthy of death. He had done nothing wrong whatsoever. He was pure. He was innocent. And yet he endured it all. Why? He wanted to finish it. He had to finish it. He had to go all the way. He had to go to the end. And he had to die. He understood that. He understood it from the beginning of time, before time even began. He understood that he would be the centerpiece. His death on the cross would bring everything into fruition. Everything would come together with his death on the cross to take care of man's greatest need. And the greatest need he had was a remedy for sin. But you know the irony of all this, ladies and gentlemen? He finished so we could start. We needed forgiveness, and that forgiveness begins with a new life in Christ. But that new life in Christ cannot begin without the shedding of the blood of Christ. In Revelation 1 verse 5, we're told that those have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're told that we have redemption and forgiveness of sin through his blood. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In describing those outside the kingdom in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 12, Paul would say they were without hope. They were without God, and they were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. And so we needed forgiveness. We needed a remedy for sin. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. We needed something. We needed something that we, even though we sin, as Romans 6, 23 tells us, and the wages of that sin is death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we needed a remedy. We needed something that would give us real hope. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," that hope was provided. His work of reconciliation is finished. And now our work has begun. We're saved by God's grace. We're his workmanship. And we're created to walk in the good works that he gave us to do, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. God's grace gave us the opportunity to be saved. His workmanship must walk in those good works that are taught and subscribed for us in his word. We begin the most important work. You see, he died in order that we might live. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He gave us reconciliation, verse 18 of the same chapter. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, we have the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry was given to us through the gospel. And by that's God's power to save. But what gives the gospel the punch that it has the power to save us in Romans 1:16? Why is that message powerful enough to save us? Because it's built on the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 4. All of God's eternal plan, all of God's eternal purpose for mankind, how he knew that men would fall. He knew men would fall into sin and that he would fall out of fellowship with God. How was he going to reconcile man back to him? How was he going to bring sinful man and a just and merciful and all-potent God? How was he going to bring those two back together again to return fellowship with his creation? By the death of his son upon the cross. And when he uttered the words, "It is finished," God's wonderful, marvelous plan of grace and his wonderful gift to mankind, the greatest gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, he gave the best. He gave us so we could live. He died so we could live. And when he uttered the words, "It is finished," God's marvelous plan came to an end. It came to fruition. Now man would have a remedy for sin. Sinful man could stand justified, acquitted, sanctified, separate, set apart from sin, and could stand in a relationship, in a spiritual relationship with his Creator that would begin here on earth and could follow throughout all eternity. But when he ended, we began the most important work. We are to spread the gospel. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to those lost and dying in sin. Why? Because they are precious to God. We are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Matthew 7, verse 12. We are to look to others' interests more than our own. We are to put others' interests ahead of our own. That's what Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5, because that was the mind that Christ had. We have to have humility and be willing to serve and be willing to serve others. That was the last lesson that Jesus taught his disciples when he washed their feet in John chapter 13. He was teaching them if they were going to be successful, that they had to be servants to others. If we're going to do God's bidding, we're going to have to be servants. We're going to have a servant's heart. We're going to have to put him first, and we're going to have to be willing to serve others, and we're going to have to submit to his will, and we're going to have to look to others more than ourselves. We must have a willingness to be used. If we are going to be effective and efficient in God's kingdom, we must exemplify that by following the example and be willing to serve. We must be willing to take reproach. We're going to suffer. We're told in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, if we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. Yet we're told to never give up, that we're not to grow weary in well-doing, Galatians 6 and verse 10. We are to fulfill the Father's will so we would have the same opportunity and privilege. You know why he died? So we would benefit. He died and he finished his race and he finished the course that we might be able to have this relationship with his Father and to be part of his spiritual kingdom and to be part of his family, that we might be in heaven one day to sing his praises and his glory and thank him personally for the sacrifice that he so willingly gave in our stead. So, as we have seen in Christ's death, brought to man what he never had before, remission of sin, a way to be reconciled truly to God and be brought back into fellowship with his Creator. Christ was willing to be spent to give us a better and more fulfilling life. What has he asked of us in exchange for this wonderful gift? Simply to love him and to obey him. In my humble opinion, he asked very little in exchange for all that he gave us. The question we must ask, have we started to accomplish those things that God has given us to do that was started when he uttered the words, "It is finished"? His work, his redemptive work was done. Giving God's will power and giving a plan power that we might have a relationship that could begin here and last through all eternity. You see, Christ died on the cross in order to give us life. He died so we might live. As we looked at these utterances of Christ upon the cross, let us never forget the great price and the great suffering and pain and anguish he endured and was willing to endure because of the great love that he had for us and the great love that he had for his Father to provide man to answer their greatest need in their darkest hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ died that you might live. Yes, his redemption work is finished. But let me ask you, have you begun the great work that he left for us to do in spreading this good news to others? If you have not, please come and see us, and we'll show you how you can begin this great journey that will lead you to the throne of God and an eternity with him and his Son throughout all eternity. Thank you for listening. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day. Have a blessed day.